Thank you. I've talked enough in the past of an hour. We've tried to understand some of the cryptic line that Rabbi Akiva said, that whatever the dinim are, if a person damages somebody, how much more so do you have to pay that high amount for your mazik hektesh, your mazik something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So the problem with saying it is because generally speaking, mazik hektesh is actually exempt, it's actually potter. The Torah says, shore eyu, and the Torah Rabbi explains to us, for lo shor shor hektesh. So we have no idea what Rabbi Akiva meant with that statement that if you're mazik hektesh, for sure you have to pay. So it's picking up on that from Testament Aleph. The Gemara says that la'olam, it's the first one, line is chura. It's about 12 lines of stuff on the bottom. So la'olam, the nachay Torah, the don, the Torah, the hektesh. But what Rabbi Akiva is referring to, that a shore of ours, a regular shore, gur, a hektesh shore, a korban shore, Rabbi Akiva, some like Rabbi Shimon Benassia. Rabbi Akiva followed the view of another Tanna that we already have on record, who had a little bit of a different understanding about what the Allah is, the person is mazik hektesh. We pass in the Allah of Osir to the opinion that shore, that's it, end of the story. If you're mazik hektesh, but Torah, for sure you don't have to pay money. There's no payment whatsoever for being mazik hektesh. Rabbi Shimon Benassia had a whole different understanding. And Rabbi Akiva subscribed to that view. What did Rabbi Shimon Nasi decide? Rabbi Shimon Nasi told him, Shor shall hektesh, nevach l'shor shall hedjer potter. If a shore of hektesh gores, a regular shore, so in the base of mikdash is potter, that's shore e'eu, lo shor shall hektesh. But if shall hedjot, nevach l'shor shall hektesh, but if it's the other way around, if it's a regular shore that gores a hektesh shore, bein tam, bein nuad, b'sham nezik sholei. Then the halachas of being mazik hektesh are so much more chomer, they're so much stricter that you don't have the tour of short time. Normally, if my ox gores your ox, so the first three times I pay half damage, that leniency of paying half damage doesn't apply if I'm being mazik hektesh, So according to the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, now I understand what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. If Rabbi Akiva holds like that view that there is a case of being mazik hektesh, so Rabbi Akiva said, if you're mazik hektesh, you have to pay. How much more so you have to pay? And you have to pay from the best of the best. You have to pay from the ibis of your property. So now comes the Gemara and says, once we've established that Rabbi Akiva was taking on everybody else, was being mechadesh, that he's following the view of Rabbi Shimon, that mazik hektesh is sometimes going to be chayev, he hochim imayde be'idis de nizik b'ziburis de mazik. Remember last week we said that there were really two parts of the braisa. The one machleg you see Rabbi Kiva between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel was if the best property of the person who was damaged is equal to the worst property of the damager, so how do you evaluate it? That was one machleg, yes. And then there's a second statement of Rabbi Kiva about paying a hektish. So he asked the Gemara, once we've identified that Rabbi Akiva is arguing with everybody else, how do we know that that first machleg even existed? We were trying to find a machleg, you said. Normally we say, we don't try to find a machlokes. We know there's machlokes. Rabbi Yishmael said something, and Rabbi Akiva said something else. So we weren't sure what in the world Rabbi Akiva was arguing. But once we've discovered that Rabbi Akiva is arguing about mazik as a hektesh, so how do you know that that first machlokes even existed? Maybe everybody agrees that you evaluate ibis, evaluate best property based on the person who is damaged. Maybe the entire Bryce is just coming to teach us one point that the Rabbanim say, Maz Gekdish is Potter, and Rabbi Akiva says, Maz Gekdish is Chayav. So Rabbi Akiva is Savat Rabbi Shimon Asi, Rabbi Shimon Savat Rabbanim. So says the Gemara that cannot be Pshat in the Bryce. In Cain, Mai Lobah Kosov. If you look back at on Friday, so when Rabbi Akiva introduced his opinion, he said, Lo Bah Kosov, you, Rabbi Shimon, have the wrong Pshat in the Pasuk in Chumash about Meitav. If Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel were only arguing about mazik hektesh, they weren't arguing about how to define meitav, So that would have been a very, very misleading way of presenting his opinion. Lo bakos, bakos means you have wrong shot in the pasuk. The ode, like Avachaber Hekdesh. And similarly, if Rabbi Akiva really agreed to Rabbi Shmuel that you pay the lower form of Edis, so what was Rabbi Akiva's whole punchline? Kavachemu Hekdesh. Rabbi Akiva said, you see that we're very, very machmir by Mazik, and therefore how much more so we're going to be machmir if you're Mazik Hekdesh. What's the chumah by Mazik? You tell me that Rabbi Akiva is a maker, that he holds like Rabbi Shmuel's watered down version of Beta, and there is no Kavachemu Hekdesh. But oh, the Gemara says, and you're totally wrong. Ha'amar Ravashi, Ravashi taught us at the top of the days, Tanya Behedja, there is a Bryce that says explicitly, Meta Sadeh, Meta Kami Shalem, Meta Sadeh Shanizach, Meta Kami Shanizach, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Meta Sadeh Shamaz, Meta Kami Shamaz. Of course, there's a machlok that I know about whether we evaluate based on the Nizach or on the Mazik. So there are really two different points in the Bryce. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are fighting about how to define Meta. Does Meta follow the best of the person who was damaged? Or does Meta follow the best of the person who did the damage? That's one machlokes. And there's a secondary machlokes. If a person damages Hekdesh, is there a possibility of having to pay for that at all? So that was really all a little bit of a sideshow. Now we get back to our main topic. So our main topic about our first sugya was shot in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was very, very confusing because the Mishnah started out with Hanizokin Shamlehem Be'idis. That if you damage somebody's property, you pay the best of your property. And the Mishnah concluded by saying, you pay Tikkun HaOlam. And the reason for this is to make the world go a little bit better, to make things a little bit smoother, to prevent people from damaging each other. So the problem for the Mishnah is obvious. That's not the reason why. You want to know why you pay Idis? Because the Torah says so. Make them so that way to come and shine. Tikkun HaOlam is a phrase that's used to describe Dinim Derabbanan. In today's world, in certain circles, Tikkun Olam became a whole other meaning. That's what it means in Chazal. Tikkun Olam in Chazal means that Chazal made certain takonos, many of them in the realm of monetary laws and those other areas, just to make things move a little bit smoother in society. It means if you follow the pure Dinim D'Oraisa, so you can have some spot outs to take advantage of the system. So every once in a while, Chazal had to touch things up a little bit, smooth out a little bit, to make it work for regular people. That's what the takonos comes to Tikkun Olam is. When the Mishnah says that you pay Minaidis, you pay from your best property, if you damage somebody, you pay Tikkun Olam. That was the Gemara's problem. Wait, Tikkun Olam. It's supposed to come. Tikkun Olam is reserved for Dinim D'Rabbanan, not for Dinim D'Oraisa. So why does the Mishnah use such a confusing term? So now Ravina takes another attempt to explain that. To the top of the Tesla Bay, to the fourth line, to the top of Ravina Amar, the Olam Astisi Rabbi Kiva. That our Mishnah is following the view of Rabbi Kiva. The Yom D'Oraisa, the Damazik Shemina. Min HaTorah, we make you pay back from your absolute best property, the Mazik, and still it's okay for the Mishnah to use the phrase of Bektikin Olam, because this Mishnah is going along the lines of Rabbi Shimoni. Who is Rabbi Shimon? What did Rabbi Shimon say? The Darish Taima Dikra. There's a famous machloek between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan in several sugyas and shas about whether the Shinan Taima Dikra or the Shinan Taima Dikra. What does that mean? Everybody agrees that it's a nice thing to try to understand reasons of mitzvahs. We're supposed to try to delve into the mitzvahs and understand whatever lessons and moral and religious ethical things we can derive from it. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Everybody also agrees that ultimately every mitzvah has its depth and its mysterious reasons and meanings to it that go well beyond any possibility for us to understand. So those two things are given by everybody. But then there was machlokes at the time. What if I have a given mitzvah? And the Torah doesn't spell out exactly what the reason for the mitzvah is. The Torah is a little bit vague. It gives us a mitzvah, but it seems pretty, pretty clear from context. This is the reason for the mitzvah. Do we say that that supposed reason for the mitzvah can halachically limit the application of the mitzvah? Do we have a right to say that since the Torah gave us this mitzvah under such and such circumstances, if those reasons don't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply? Or do we say no? That the Torah doesn't say the reason. Well, you figured it out on your own. You are very smart. You figured out what the time of the course. That's nice, but that's irrelevant. That's not going to limit the application of the mitzvah. That was a loaded machlokes in Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan in many, many areas of halacha. So here the Gemara tells us that that's Rabbi Kiva. That's what the Mishnah here is driving at. But the Mishnah says that Ezekiel Shalom Be'idnis, that if a person damages, my animal goes and gores your animal. My animal goes and goring. It's a shatam. My animal eats your property. I dig a hole, your animal falls in. I light a fire and burns down your field. All the cases of mazik. So the Torah says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kami Shalom. Why does the Torah say that? Stomach tears across him. Makes no sense. It's just arbitrary. No, it makes a lot of sense. The reason is in order to prevent people from damaging. If I know that the Beis Din is going to come and take away my best field, I'm going to think a million times over. If all I think is that they're going to come and take away my piece of land in the middle of Idaho, I'll lose my shield in Idaho. Nothing's going to happen. But if I'm afraid they're going to take away my office building in Midtown, my Maytub, my property that's worth a lot, I'll think a million times over before I'm careless and damaging. So that's why the Mishnah, although the Mishnah is recounting a din min haTorah of Maytav, the Mishnah is comfortable saying they tikkun ha'olam, because Rabbi Shimon teaches us that we can be doish time in the Kra. That is the reason why. And therefore, it's a deraisa, and the reason for the deraisa is we break tikkun ha'olam. So that's what Ravina says, the Rabbi Shimon is doish time in the Kra, umatam kam. So the Pshat of the Mishnah is to tell us the reason. Matam harizok and sham lehem the idis. Why is it that Nezik can pay from Idis if Neitik and Olam, the son, Rabbi Shimon actually made several observations about different kinds of payments in Allah. We know that if a person damages, you pay from the best field. If you borrow money, you pay from the mediocre fields. If you have to pay Ksilbi, you pay from the cheapest fields. So where did all this come from? What is the reason? Just arbitrary distance. Rabbi Shimon explained, no, it makes a lot of sense. The son of Rabbi Shimon. Why does the halacha say, what does the Torah say, that a mazik has to pay for the best? Because the people who steal, a gazlan is also considered to be like a mazik. The Gemara says in Bavakama, there are 24 different categories of mazik. Mazik is not only if you break somebody's window. If you steal, you also consider to be like a mazik. And you have to pay back for meitav as well. So a gazlan is literally some mamish steals. A chamson is somebody who steals and just throws the money in your face. You're yelling and screaming, you don't want to sell it, and he comes and throws the money at you. So the sale is not binding. So that's also like a quasi kind of a gazlan. So why is it that the Torah says you have to pay idis? Because the person should say as follows to himself. Why should I bother stealing? Why should I bother taking things from people? Tomorrow, Beis Din is going to come to my property. And they're going to take away my nice field. And they're going to rely on what it says in the Pasuk in Chumash. So that is the reason for the din of Idis. Idis is not just an arbitrary existence of Kosov. Idis makes a lot of sense. It's to ensure that society runs smoothly. It's a quote-unquote tikkun olam. It's a tikkun olam that the Rebbe Hashem himself created for us. So that's why the Mishnah is okay using the phrase tikkun olam in describing the din of meitav. Now the Braisa continues. Once Rebbe Shimon's already on a roll and he's telling you why you pay idis, now he tells us the next. Yipnei ma'omru balchov v'beinu idis. Why is it that the Torah says that a balchov, if I lend somebody money, why do I only get his bailiffs? I only get his medium kind of field. Why don't we say the same thing? I lent him the money, so I should get back the best possible field. So why does the halacha say bailiffs? Today, shelo yira adam l'chaveiro sudden avadir noah. In order to deter the following, I'm going to see a nice field that you have. I'm going to see a nice house that you have, and I'm going to want it. So I come up with the following chat. Miomar et bots v'alveno. So I come to you and I say, oh, I see you need a little bit of money. Can I lend you money? So I go out of my way. I'm such a big tzaddik. I go out and lend you money. Why? Because I know you're never going to be able to bring that. I convince you. I give you bad advice. I convince you to borrow money on this business venture I know is going to fail. And then I know 6 months from now, I'm going to go and collect that field, collect that house. So in order to prevent people from doing such things, the fikir of b'chol b'enis. Therefore, we tell you, listen, if you lend the guy money, don't think you're getting such IAI real estate at the end. Even if the guy doesn't pay you back, you're going to get his mediocre field anyway. So it's not going to be worth it for me to pull off the stunt. If I have my eyes on his, his midtown apartment, that's one thing. If I have my eyes on his field in Wyoming, so I'm probably not going to do such a stunt in order to get this low quality stuff. So comes the Gemara and says, Elamayata, that's the case. That we're really trying to deter people from lending money for the wrong reasons because we're suspicious. People are going to pull off these kinds of things. They're going to try to get, pick up somebody else's real estate. The ABC Buddhist. And the more correct halacha should be is don't even give the guy the mediocre stuff. Instead of, I don't know, I guess we'll call, nobody should be insulted. We'll call the idis, we'll call your office building in the town. We'll call your bananas, we'll call, I don't know, your house in Tibet. The Zibura is spoken back in the Vayomim. So we should give you the Vayomim. Why should we give you a middle of the ground kind of stuff? If we're really worried that people are going to pull off this kunz and try to lend money to collect people's property, so we should really give the Malibu, we should give the person who lends the money the worst of the worst. Imkain, after no doubt, with me, well, then if you're going to do that, it's going to have it's going to backfire because no one's going to want to lend money. I'm going to lend you $100,000. And what's my grandiose security? I'm going to end up stuck with a field in Miami. So at least Chach, give me bananas. At least give me Hassan Dina. Can you give me something? So here, Chazal, I'm walking the tightrope. We always find in Dina Mamanus, we very often, especially in the relationship between a Malvin and a Loiva, on the one hand, we want to make sure that people pay back their loans, they pay back appropriately, because if not, it's going to undermine the ability of people to want to lend in the future. And that's terrible. That's going to undermine the entire economic, society. People don't lend money. On the other hand, we don't want to make it too tough on the loan. Make it too tough on the loan. Never that we have to pay back properly. This is like part of that, that tension that we have in the Prusbul, which is suffering. On the one hand, we don't want to apply the rule what the Torah says, that the loans are canceled because people are going to stop lending money. On the other hand, we don't want to make it too easy. We want, you have to walk the tightrope. To make it good for the Malvin, good for the Lova, try to keep society running smoothly. So this is all called the big ticket oil. So the Rambam writes in Uchaz Mamrim that the Beis and Agodol are instructed that they have to introduce dinim de Rabbanon in the realm of religion. They have to make siyogim and zeiras and mitzvahs de Rabbanon in order to enhance our relationship with the Malvin. And the Rambam writes they have to also, they're required by the Halacha to make things the sakhanas ha'olam. That those are also part of the koch under the authority of the Beis Nagadol to simply make sure that society is running properly, things that are not religious in nature, just to make sure that the economy runs, make sure society runs, that people are functioning properly. That's also considered to be part of the responsibility of the Beis. So the Gemara continues, Ksumas Isha. From what kind of property does a woman collect her ksuba? So this gets a little bit tricky. So Ksumas Isha b'ziburis divra b'yuda. So when it comes to a ksuba, so there was a machlekes atanoim. So one Tana says that she gets zibur, she gets from the lowest property. And the other Tana says she gets from the middle. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon picks up on this also. Ibneima amru ksubas isha b'ziburis. Why is it that we give the woman the ziburis? We should at least give her like someone who let money. We should give her bananas. She yaisir masha ish rotzalisa, isha rotzalinosei. The Gemara says that, no, it's okay. That we can give a ziburis, and it's not going to be a deterrent from our getting married. When it comes to loans, so we're very, very nervous to give the malva too little. We don't want to give the malva the very, very shach, the very, very weak stuff, because then he's not going to want to lend money again. When it comes to ksubis, we have no hesitation. We can give the woman the work again. She's going to get her value. None of this is going to actually impinge on the value of what she's entitled to. It's just a question people prefer to get a little bit less of high quality and rather getting more of lesser quality. So come the Tanoim and say that when it comes to ksuba, you don't have to be afraid that women are going to stop getting married. No one's going to want to get married because they're going to feel like they're getting the cheap stuff in the end, because psychologically we analyze, that more than the man wants to get married, so the woman wants to get married. So Kadosh Baruch Hu built into the tab of the women that they want to get married, and no one's going to not get married because they think that a cheshbon, that if the husband dies, he's going to end up sending a ziburis. That's not going to play a role in terms of our shidduch prospects. Dabar acher. Now there's another reason, and that's going to question in a minute, that but the next statement doesn't seem to be a reason for anything. Dabar acher. Isha yotzu litzona, vishalo litzona. That a woman leaves a marriage either willingly or unwillingly. It's been a Torah, so the husband, technically speaking, can divorce the wife against the will. He's not allowed to do that. It's a terrible event. It's terrible that Amla Chadir can do that. In the later generations, so Rabbi Gershom made a cherim for that. That if a person divorces his wife against her will, we put him into cherim. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It was always a terrible thing. It was a miserable thing to do. Rabbi Gershom put some teeth on it, and he excommunicated the person. Anyone who does that, so they throw him out of the Jewish community. He's put into cherim. But technically speaking, in the Torah, such a get would be valid. So a woman can be divorced the tzona shlo tzona, but ish and a motzia tzona, whereas a man has to give the get in tzona. So the Gemara says that statement is true, but irrelevant. What does it have to do with paying ziburis? What does it have to do with anything? So what is the meaning of this topic in the context of this braisa? So the Gemara explains that the braisa is asking a totally different question. The Braisa finished the gradations of fields. We know why Mazik is Idis, and we know why Balchayv is Benidis, and we know why Ksuba is Zibur. We got all that down pat. Now we ask you a totally, completely different question. We know that if he initiates the divorce, so he has to pay Ksuba to her. If she divorces him, she initiates the divorce, she should have to pay the ksuba to him. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, no, that's a silly question. You know why? There's no such thing as she's divorcing him. That concept doesn't exist in halacha. That if and when he gives her a get, that means he decided to give her a get. It could be that she drove him crazy and now he's giving a get, he has no choice. That's possible. But at the end of the day, it was his decision. So therefore, any and every time that he gives a get, he is the Megarisha. She is no such thing as she's Megarishim. And therefore, he's the one who's going to have to give the Ksuba. How much does he give? So we pass it. Allah, he gives the Ibuz.
Just Gemara doesn't talk about the perspective of the man from a monetary perspective, saying that if all he has to pay is Ibuz, it's making maybe more likely to divorce as well.
Right. Gemara says the whole purpose of the Ksuba in the first place was to prevent him from divorcing his wife easily. But at the end of the day, it's still 200 zuz. It's still a 200 zuz is a fairly large amount of money. This man Chazal, 200 zuz, which is the baseline amount of the Ksuba. The Mishnah says that if a person has 200 zuz, then they're not allowed to collect tzedakah. Because 200 zuz is the amount of money that practically a person could survive on for an entire year. That's a year's living. With the modern day crew, that's a lot of money. So the halacha is that Chazal, according to many opinions, Chazal wants to do the ksuba, according to some Torahs to do the ksuba, in order to be as an incentive to the man, not just to flippantly divorce his wife, it's going to cost him a pretty penny. The Zman Hazeh, we add a little bit more to the ksuba, because 200 zuz, in the way it comes out in our calculation of silver, is not all that much. But we have a custom that we add on much more. The Mishnah says in the second ksuba is that 200 zuz is the baseline. The husband can add on it as much as he wants. The sky's the limit. So we have a custom that we add on significantly more to the ksuba. And then we add on even more because we when the woman brings into the marriage, in the olden days, the woman would bring in animals, she'd bring in a house, she'd bring in a field, she'd bring in different things into the marriage. So we would evaluate how much that is. Then the husband would take responsibility to pay that back if the marriage would break up. So today, most women are bringing sheep into the marriage. So we write some arbitrary numbers. We, as if the husband accepts, if the husband accepts, he accepts. So that's why I'm meaning today, the Ashkenazi community is ready for hundreds of years, is that we write these very, very high numbers of commitments that the husband's going to give in terms of the tzuba. Many of the Sephardi communities, they don't do that. Many of the Sephardi communities, they actually take dollars and cents. They actually figure out how much does the husband really comfortable obligating himself to an addition? How much does she really bring in? So they write some communities write numbers that are more grounded in reality. In the Ashkenazi community, you can do whatever you want. The Mishnah says the husband can obligate himself to $20 million also because of date. So the reason why the Ashkenazi communities, they did this, is no one had any money anyway. Back in the Middle Ages, no one had any money, but they wanted to feel. I said, "You're the scribe. He's rich." So he writes this. His college says, "I'm here to obligate myself to pay you 10 million, golden coins." The guy doesn't have a half a proof to this day, but they everyone wanted to feel like they were. No one was ever enforced it anyway because no one ever had the money anyway. So that minute gets stuck in our community. So we write these exorbitant numbers for the ksuba. But again, that's all a minute. The ikra didn't. Yeah, the amount of money that he ends up having to pay through the court system ends up to be well more than the German coins from the 1500s. So usually the ksuba kind of gets swallowed up in the process in America.
Was it indexed to inflation?
Yeah. In theory, it's going to end up costing a lot more than whatever it says in the ksuba. Even though the ksuba is very flowery, lush, and it talks about all these chiyum, it's going to be more expensive. So the Gemara continues to have the comment on the different dinim in the Mishnah as to who pays what kind of land. So the Mishnah says ksubas isha b'ziburis. So a ksuba is collected from the lowest rung of the property. When do we say that a ksuba is collected from the shvach stuff, from the weakest stuff? That's if you're collecting the ksuba from yisaimim, from the heirs of aminei day the bainin is. But if you're collecting from the husband himself, that is for benefits. That's for the medium kind of property. Now we know there are two scenarios of Black Mitzvah. Whenever the marriage ends, which says the Kedusha marriage ends for one of two reasons. Either the husband dies or he divorces her. So if the husband dies, then the Kedusha is going to be collected from the Yorshim. If the husband divorces her, then obviously the Kedusha is going to be collected from him himself. So that's what Mazutra tells us, that when does the Mishnah say we only pay Menesiburis? That's only the collecting from the Yisayimim. But you're collecting from him, if he divorced or he's alive and well, then he has to pay Beninis. So he asks the Gemara, really? That's Pshat the Mishnah. He asks, my area of Ksubas Isha, said, if that's all the Mishnah meant, is that when you collect from Yisayimim, then and only then the Mishnah says, you collect from Ziburis, yes, the Gemara, everything collects from Ziburis and Yisayimim. It's a general rule that whenever you collect from the children, you never collect more than Ziburis. You always try to help and to try to make life a little bit easier for the Yisayimim. The Hatz and I, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Ifram and Nichsi Yisayim Elamin Ziburis. Even if you're Mazik, Reuben is Mazik somebody, then he dies. So you only collect from Ziburis. If Reuben borrows money, then he dies. You only collect from Ziburis. So obviously when the Mishnah says that Ksuba collects from Ziburis, the Mishnah is not talking about the Yisayimim. I don't need a Mishnah to say that. You collect it from Yisayimim, it's always Ziburis. So obviously it must be talking about from him himself, which would contradict what Mazik said. What is this? No. La'olam Yasme. The Mishnah is actually talking about from Yisayimim. So why does the Mishnah feel the necessity to spell out again that Ksubas Isha collects from Ziburis? Ksubas Isha is three chalei. I would have said, I would have thought that in order to encourage the women to get married, to make the women find favor, make the men find favor in their eyes, we would encourage the women to get married. So therefore, Chazal would have been even more make, or they would have let you collect even more. So Kamash Malon. So the bottom line is that from Yisomim, you only get Ziburis. But if you do collect from the man himself, so at least at this stage in the Gemara thinks you collect from the Beinimis. But eventually going to reject it. But at this point, the Gemara thinks that's the distinction. So Amar Rava. So Rava says, let's try to bring a proof one way or the other. What is the din? So we know on the one hand, the Mishnah says, Ksuba collects from Ziburis. Mazutra is limiting that only to from Yisayimim. So Gemara wants to know, is that really true? Amar Rava, Toshma. Rabbi Meir on the Ksubas Isha Bebeninis. Rabbi Meir happens to be the dissenting view. He says that a Ksubas Isha collects from the medium stuff, not from the worst stuff. So Miman, who is Rabbi Meir talking about? Who is this woman collecting the Ksubas from? Elam Yasme, if he's talking about collecting from the Yisayimim, from the children, I can't be lazy that Rabbi Meir had this not, and if Rabbi Meir is the Ziburis, but would anybody argue this? It's inconceivable that Rabbi Meir would deny this Stam Mishnah. Mishnah says that you never collect from Yisayimim anything more than Ziburis. So then, obviously, when Rabbi Meir made that statement, Ksubas Isha Bebeninis, he must have meant from the husband himself, the Chalal Rabban and Sabbath Ziburis, which would lead us to believe that the Rabban who disagree with Rabbi Meir, when they say he collects from the cheapest stuff, they're also talking about from him. So once Rabbi Meir is talking about collecting from him, and the Rabban also talking about collecting from him, and the Chachamim say the Ziburis, that disproves Mazutra. Mazutra was the one who said that if you're collecting from him, then it goes up a notch. It's not true. So he says, no, we have the wrong shot in the Mishnah. No. Ma'olam yasme. Everybody's talking about from Yisayimim. The whole discussion is from Yisayimim. So why in the world does Rabbi Meir say that you go up a notch, you collect Beninis? That's unheard of to collect anything but Ziburis from Yisayimim. Mishani Sibzish Mishamachina. We want to encourage the women to get married. So this is also a very, very delicate line. It's a tension between, we said before, on the one hand, the women probably do want to get married. On the other hand, we want to give them a little bit of a boost. We don't want to make them too complacent. It's a little bit tricky. So on the one hand, we suspect that they probably do want to get married. We don't have to bend over backwards for them. On the other hand, we may have to bend over a little backwards, a little bit of an extra push, a little bit of extra encouragement. That's what every mayor says.
I would say something different. That it's not someone's money. I mean, the money that they give to her is really the chiyuv of the husband. If someone happens to step in place because they take over the Yerusha, but it's really the woman's really before, but you sort of come before in the hierarchy, it's her money, to do it.
I mean, it's true that she has a shiva on that money. That's true. But the bottom line is that when a person dies, So all the money goes to Yerusha. And now the halacha, now we have to begin to evaluate. So now I have all the money to Yerusha. What do I do with it? So if I have enough certain debts that I have to pay, so the same way that my father had to pay, I have to pay those debts. So it's hard to say that the money wasn't really theirs. They really were Yerush the money, and now they have Shibud.
She has a Shibud
is a tricky thing.
Her Shibud is called in the Yerusha. The Yerusha comes in and displaces her and puts her in.
Okay, it's true. Okay, look now. Okay, sure. Could be. Right. So the Gemara just trying to freshman out who's going to get what from where. Well, what time do they start Shachas 2-3 minutes earlier? That depending on when they finish Shachas, right?
7 o'clock in the whole
day. Right, but it's like, no.
Yeah. No, we're going to say it's going to be true. They start early because it's $1.
Okay. Yeah. So where were they home?
No, we're not closing there. We're going to the
whole thing. People down
the no, this is the old
some people down the city.
Well, the new main man.
Yeah, so somewhere down the shaft. Yeah, so where are they holding now? That's what they're doing. I said 7:30. I don't know. Sometimes we have this it was like this 3 minute delay.
There at 7.
So probably at 7.
When it gets very quiet,
you haven't
done the solutions yet. Okay, fine. Okay, it's the end of the day. Okay. So, Amar Rabbi, let's still try to figure out whether my Zutra is correct. Amar Rabbi, Toshma. I mean, Zokan Shamlan the Idis, for damages you have to pay for the best property. About Chayv pays for the mediocre. Superstition is the worst, and Exuber pays for the worst. So, Miman, who is this list talking about? This mission that spells out the three cases. Who are we referring to collecting from? Elam, he asked me, if we're talking about from Yisraimim, my area Ksubas Isha. So, why are we saying only Ksubas Isha gets from the Ziburis? I feel the Kalhani Nami. And what you get from Ziburis? Because again, the cloud of the mission is, Ain from Nixi Yisraim Elamina Ziburis. So, Allah Minay. So, obviously, the mission is talking about, not Yisraim, the mission is talking about collecting the person themselves. And the Mishnah is pointing out the distinction between the Zikin or Idis, Bachov is Benis, and Ksuba is Iburis, even though I'm collecting from the husband, wife, and well, divorced his wife, and the Mishnah is saying that after Bichay, you pay Iburis, which is exactly what my Sutra did not say. So the Chor of my Sutra is now disproved. The Sutra had this Chiddush that Ksuba Ishmael is Iburis is not really always true. It's only true by Yisomim, not for the person himself. So we have seems to be an explicit Mishnah that contradicts this. The Gemara gives a whole complicated story to try to explain what the Mishnah is talking about. Amar Bachar by Yaakov, Hocham Ha'eskinan, Oshin Nos Nasa Orem, Vodiski B'no, Vodal Chov B'no, Tzibis Kavoso, Ha'ikidini B'ha'ikidini. So Bachar by Yaakov is a whole roundabout case. That's what Pshan's Mishnah is. That the Mishnah is talking about actually not collecting the person himself. The Mishnah is talking about collecting on the Orem from the co-signer. So we need a little bit of introduction to some of this. On Thursday, we'll continue this point about what does that even mean? A person becomes an RA for different chiyuv of somebody else. How does that impact on where the property is going to be collected from? So on Thursday, we'll continue this.
Tomorrow, there is 7 tenants, our chapter.